Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, I was just saying how energized I am for Tennessee's football season to be getting underway in about 2 weeks against Bowling Green. And I know, are you feeling energized?
Always at this time of year, I think the adrenaline rush comes and you're just looking forward to that first kickoff, no matter who it's against. Welcome seeing the Bowling Green Falcons run into Neyland Stadium.
What are you most excited about for this 2021 season? I'm not going to ask you just about Tennessee Bowling Green because I got a feeling you might be sarcastic in your response. I know you're on record as saying Bowling Green's one of the worst FBS teams that there is. So what are you most interested or excited about for the 2021 season at large?
Boy, it's hard to pin it down. I guess I would say that we don't have as much COVID protocol as we had last year. See, last season, just beginning the season, there was so much uncertainty. We didn't even know if there would be a season. And then once it started, we didn't know if you'd finish it. So there was a cloud hanging over the season. Even when you had those opening kickoffs, you're thinking, well, they started, but I don't know if they'll finish. And I know the Delta variant is rampaging right now, especially through the South and through SEC areas. But still, there's more reason to be optimistic than it was last season in regard to the COVID virus.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think for me, excited about seeing a little bit more of a vibe around stadiums this season. You know, last year with the attendance restrictions that were in place, I thought for me, once the game started, I almost hate to say this, fans might not like this, but I didn't feel like you missed that much. I thought that fake crowd noise actually was pretty well done. And up there in the press box, if I just sort of closed my eyes and forgot about for a moment that the stadium was 70% empty, you could kind of fool yourself into thinking that, hey, there's a lot of people at this game. There's not any attendance restrictions. However, what you couldn't fake was the atmosphere outside the games. I mean, you rolled up, there's no traffic, you know, parking's a breeze, which that was a silver lining, but still, you're walking up to the stadium, and it's like you're in the midst of a dystopian future or something where college football no longer exists, and these stadiums are just relics from a life that's now gone. You know, you could have been fooled into thinking that it was a spring game Saturday and not a college football Saturday. That, to me, was really jarring, and I miss that, you know, despite the fact that I didn't have to fight traffic, which was kind of nice. I'll deal with the traffic if it means when I arrive at the parking lot on Saturdays that I can tell a game's going to be played in a couple hours.
Well, the traffic was even less on my journey to the stadium because there was no journey to the stadium. My press box was my recliner in my den. I felt like I was missing something. But again, once the game started, even though I'm not at the stadium, initially there was it seemed weird, but after a couple of games, it didn't seem weird at all. It became routine, so I didn't think that much about it. And you're still watching the games, so it just wasn't that different.
John, you proposed a fun idea for today's podcast topic, so kudos to you for that. I'm excited to get into this one. You proposed the video board seems to fascinate Tennessee fans. Which former Vols are going on the back of the video board? And Tennessee just underwent a change last weekend. NFL star Alvin Kamara was added to the video board, replacing Jason Witten, with the rationale being that Tennessee always wants one current NFL player to be on its video board. And with Witten retiring, they made the switch there. And so Kamara goes up there and joins General Neyland in the middle, who's been on the video board for some time now, and then former star linebacker Al Wilson. So those are the three former Vols that are going to be on the video board this season. Those are the posters that hang on the backside of that Jumbotron video board at Neyland Stadium that you can see from the outside of the stadium. You proposed, John, that if we were going to come up with three players from this current team to put on the back of that video board, who would they be? So let's get into that. Who's your first draft pick that you're putting on the video board from this year's roster?
I won't overlook the obvious, and I'd put Cade Mays up there. He's, I think, Tennessee's best player. And also, he symbolizes hope for the future. I know he's a Knoxville guy, but still, he was at Georgia playing for championships, and he comes back to Tennessee, leaves Georgia. Tennessee got a five-star player away from Georgia, a guy who can play anywhere in the offensive line. Very versatile. Part of it might have to do with his family, and he'll be playing alongside his younger brother, Cooper, but kudos for him from the Vol faithful for doing that. So he'd be my first pick.
Is this your subtle way of saying, John, that Kudus is being retired and replaced by Kudos?
No, I'm fine. I just don't. Some of our audience, the people that might be easily influenced, I don't want them to go out in the general public and make a fool of themselves, as a former athletic director often did with his Kudus that he spread around quite frequently. Yeah, I know you were doing it tongue in cheek. And I thought, ha-ha, to myself, but I don't want to mess up anybody's life.
I don't know. Kudus has almost just entered my vocabulary. I find myself just saying it around the house. I've totally replaced kudos from my language.
Well, now that you mention that, to me, kudus almost sounds more natural. I thought kudos were kind of a weird word to begin with.
Maybe Philip Fulmer was ahead of all of us.
Maybe he was.
I'll take my first pick in this video board draft, John, from someone who's been earning a lot of preseason praise from the coaching staff. So I'm going to buy into that. And I will take Jabari Small, the sophomore running back, for my first spot on the video board. I think it's always a good idea for Tennessee to have someone from Memphis as its headliners. You know, if you're going to put players on the video board, I don't think it's a bad idea to have someone from Memphis. It's a really important recruiting area for Tennessee, especially in this 2022 recruiting class, such a strong class, in-state class for Tennessee, and Tennessee's got to do a better job of trying to get commitments from those prospects. Now, of course, Walter Nolan has moved from the Memphis area, and he's going to play this season at Powell High School, so he's now in East Tennessee. But nonetheless, Memphis has some fertile recruiting ground long-term. I think one of the things that Josh Heupel needs to do well to have success here is recruit those in-state players. He's talked about that, and part of recruiting well in-state means recruiting well in Memphis. And like I said, I think this coaching staff has really, really been high on Jabari Small and what he's capable of as a running back this season. So I'm going to buy into that and take Jabari Small for my video board.
Jabari Small has probably received more praise than any player. I know offensive coordinator Alex Golish singled him out and was really verbose in his praise for Jabari Small, who didn't really play enough last season for me to get a good feel on just how good a player he was. He did okay, but he was a third-string running back. But, yeah, Golish said this is truly an SEC running back, which from an SEC coach, that's high praise, so that's a good pick. That kind of segues well into my next pick, who's another running back. Tyon Evans, the junior college transfer. We've both been impressed with him from what we saw on video, not any live action, but he just looks like a really good running back. Looks as though he can do everything. He runs in traffic well, breaks tackles. Quick, got good high-end speed, can catch the ball. I really like him. So if we're right and Tennessee's coaches are right, Tennessee could end up having a really good 1-2 punch at running back. That's a pretty good starting point if you want to say this offense will be better than the last one.
You scared me for a second there, John, saying Tyon Evans runs well in traffic. That had me worried for the safety of Tyon Evans. And it took me longer than I'd like to admit that you were talking about traffic on the football field.
Yeah.
There. Like, what is Tyon Evans doing running in traffic?
Yeah, you can see just a huge contingent of traffic on I-40, pretty much at a standstill. And, hey, there goes Tyon Evans, Tennessee's junior college running back. Look at him go. He just stiff-armed a Volkswagen. He's on the other side of the interstate now.
darting between semis and the whole bit. If you can dart between a couple of semis, you can follow those big offensive linemen. So, yeah, okay, Tyon Evans, you just, the way the coaching staff is buying into Jabari Small, we're doing the same with Tyon Evans. But the coaching staff would tell you, too, you know, if they mentioned Jabari Small first, which they do in that running back room, Tyon Evans is the guy they mentioned second. I really think Tennessee likes what it has at running back, despite the losses of Eric Gray and Ty Chandler. That could be, I don't know if it's a sneaky good position for Tennessee, because I know we've been talking about it a lot, but if you weren't paying a lot of attention and just looking at what Tennessee lost, you might think that they might not be very good at running back this year. But if we were both to point to a position that we like, I think I'd get to running back pretty quickly.
I really think it's not a stretch to think those, now this will depend somewhat on the offensive line too, but I think those guys could each rush for 600 yards.
I'm going to pick someone on defense. We've gone three offensive guys here with our picks. I'm going to grab someone on defense for my second pick for the video board, just because, well, I don't know how good that defense is going to be, but I think you better have somebody up there from defense, or you're just admitting that you don't care about it at all, and that's not the message you want to send. And I'm going to go with fifth-year senior defensive lineman Matthew Butler. I think Matthew Butler is a guy that gets the longevity award in this program. He survived three coaching tenures. You know, you go back, he was on that 2017 team in the final year of the Butch Jones era, toughed it out through the Jeremy Pruitt era, and now still here he stands for the Josh Heupel era. He's a guy that has been on the SEC Academic Honor Roll for a few times. He, I think, gets a lot out of his talent. And this is a former three-star prospect that's been really, I think, Tennessee's best defensive lineman the past 2 years, which is, yes, a bit of an indictment on Tennessee's, I say, offensive lineman, defensive lineman. It's been a bit of an indictment on the defensive line that some of those other guys have not played up to the recruiting ranking. But Matthew Butler last year had 43 tackles in 10 games. The year before that, he had 45 tackles. And so really, he's been a steady producer on the defensive line. I'm going to reward someone in this transfer era where guys are in and out of programs all the time. He survived now. He's on to his third coaching tenure. Give me Matthew Butler for the video board.
Well, kudos for you for recognizing a guy for just some of those intangibles that are so important to an individual and to a team. I remember one time I wandered onto a practice field. I thought practice was over. Nobody checked me. I just wandered out there, and practice had just ended. And there was Matthew Butler on the side hitting some dummies. Practice was over, and he was staying late, working hard. So I am glad to see him do well. He was very much unheralded when he came here. I don't remember him getting many kudos from Butch Jones. You have to say that he's able to adapt. That's quite a stretch, too, to play for both Butch Jones and Jeremy Pruitt in itself. And now he's got a new coach in Josh Heupel. I wonder how he would rate those coaches. I'll go with my third pick. I'm also going on the defensive side.
There's not much left over there.
I'm going with a guy who doesn't stick around, came from Texas. Juwan Mitchell, linebacker, led Texas in tackles last season. Now, the Big 12 is not renowned for defense, so you might wonder about what does that even mean? He led the team in tackles. I mean, where was he making those tackles? Or offensive running or running backs dragging him to the two-yard line before he finally dragged him down. But I don't want to go into all the specifics of it. I just say he led the team in tackles, and that says a lot. And I think it's really important. Just as I thought it was important for Tennessee to take a five-star recruit away from Georgia in Cade Mays. So I'm seeing the big picture here, not just about what these guys are doing now, but what they could mean for the program. And so here's a guy, he left Texas to come to Tennessee. A lot of people think when Texas comes into the SEC, it will become UT, and Tennessee will become UT Light. Juwan Mitchell's decision to transfer from one UT to the other tells me not so fast. Tennessee may be the UT. At least it is with Juwan Mitchell.
Boy, you're really just, speaking of T, you're setting up Tennessee to be transfer you there. All three guys on your video board are transfers in Cade Mays, Tyon Evans, and Juwan Mitchell. You say, send us your cast-offs. Send us your guys ready to be onto their second stint. Of course, some of these guys aren't truly cast-offs. Tyon Evans is a junior college transfer, and I think Georgia would be glad to have Cade Mays still on its roster. But, yeah, you're really just putting forth the image there. You want to transfer and come play for the Vols, you can end up on the video board.
And I think what that shows is Tennessee welcomes transfers. Just because you weren't here at the beginning, we'll take it anytime. If you want to transfer into Tennessee in the sixth game of the season, good for you. I guess, couldn't a graduate, a senior, do that? Couldn't he just move in the middle of the season, or is that inappropriate?
Yeah, I don't think we're quite to that point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we should be.
Give it a couple more years.
Okay, we should be.
John, before we get to my final pick, I want to remind our loyal listeners that John and I are also conducting another podcast this season. It's called SEC Football Unfiltered. Previous couple weeks, we were talking SEC expansion. Had a lot of fun last week, in which John pinch hit as SEC commissioner. We viewed some resumes for possible entry into the SEC or rejection, and John let in a handful of new members while turning away some other potential suitors. So you can check us out over there at SEC Football Unfiltered. We'd appreciate it. And as far as the volunteer state, if you don't subscribe to this podcast already, we'd appreciate it if you could click subscribe. And if you like what you hear, go ahead and give us a rating. John, for my final pick, Josh Heupel is really setting up the image here that this is going to be an offense that's very quarterback friendly. He's got a good track record developing quarterbacks. You can go back to, he was Sam Bradford's quarterbacks coach at Oklahoma. He was Drew Locke, who's now in the NFL, his offensive coordinator at Missouri. And he coached Dylan Gabriel, who led the nation in passing yards per game last year at Central Florida. So I say make sure everybody knows that on the video board and get a quarterback up there. And as you know, I've been predicting for a couple weeks now that Joe Milton, the Michigan transfer, is going to be Tennessee's starting quarterback. I think you need a quarterback on the video board in Josh Heupel's program. So I'm saying put Joe Milton up there on the video board as my third Vol, and I'd say stick him right in the middle. Let everybody see that quarterback right in the middle of the video board. Sorry, General Nealon, you're going to have to make some room, and Joe Milton's going up claiming that spot right in the middle of the video board.
Well, Joe Milton is a very large human being, so he needs plenty of space up there. Now, I'm still on that Harrison Bailey train.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a place where we could put Harrison Bailey? If there's not room on the screen, is there somewhere we could maybe put a photo of him, stick it up above a gate?
How about this, John? We put Harrison Bailey's poster right behind Joe Milton's on the video board. And so if Milton doesn't work out, if Bailey actually becomes a starter, or if Milton struggles and Bailey replaces him, you could just peel Joe Milton's image right down there. And it's like the backup quarterback, you know, it's symbolic of the backup quarterback moving into the starting lineup. Or maybe I'm wrong and Harrison Bailey just opens the season. In that case, yeah, you peel down that Milton image real quick and you got Bailey standing there at the ready to take the spot in the middle of the video board. Are you satisfied with that, or you want to give him like a little corner somewhere where we can put his photo?
Maybe do we have bobbleheads of these players? Are those manufactured? Can you get a bobblehead of Tennessee's quarterback or backup quarterback?
You know, it's funny you say that because I have an Alvin Kamara bobblehead that was sent to me. I believe I actually have two bobbleheads of Alvin Kamara, one of them in a Tennessee uniform, one of them in a New Orleans Saint uniform. Those were sent to me, mailed to me at the New Sentinel office a few years back. So I have bobbleheads of him, but I do not have bobbleheads of any current members of the Vols roster.
I assume you reported that to human resources.
No, I'm revealing myself now as being a recipient of those bobbleheads. Hopefully those slide under like the $25 value, isn't it? You receive a free gift worth less than $25, you can kind of look the other way.
Yeah, maybe so. I but the way Camaro is playing, you might can get more than $25 for that. If we put things up, these photos, likenesses up on the video board before the season starts, you've anointed Joe Milton as a starting quarterback. So you would be able to strip him away as soon as Harrison Bailey's named the number one quarterback.
Do you think we ought to go ahead and put Hendon Hooker in that? You know, maybe we ought to print off 4 poster boards here for that video board. You could just stack them up 1 through 4, because if past seasons tell us anything, it's that you better not count on one quarterback to just take things wire to wire here. So you might better have it at the ready. If I'm going to stick Milton on that video board, we might just go ahead and have one of Milton, one of Harrison Bailey, one of Hendon Hooker, and depending on Brian Maurer's status with the team that particular day, maybe go ahead and print one up of Brian Maurer and have all 4 guys there be ready to be peeled into action in the center spot on that video board.
That's a good idea, but I look at it another way. What I'd like to see you do is put you think Joe Milton should be number one. We'll put his body up there, but then you'd have to make the head smaller, but you can put all 4 heads up there on Joe Milton's body. And then whoever the winner is, whoever starts the first game, you just throw away 3 heads and you've got a one-headed quarterback.
Or maybe you just scare the heck out of your competition with a 4-headed attack there. You think Tennessee has struggled at quarterback the last few years? Well, you haven't seen one with 4 heads.
Yeah, it's sort of a takeoff on the 4 horsemen of Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's what they'll be thinking this season as they see the Vols, right? They'll hearken back to those Notre Dame glory days with the 4 horsemen, no doubt. That might be what Bowling Green's thinking after the season opener. Tennessee hopes so. They will open the season on September 2nd, a Thursday night at Neyland Stadium. John and I will continue to get you ready for the season opener in the meantime. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.